Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Barstab Logranas podcast. My name is Josh. Hope everyone had a good week. We got a lot to talk about. I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet. This is just a solo pod, so it's just me this week. But I did want to check in and chat about things heading into Barcelona's significance matchup with Real Betis tomorrow. I'm recording this about literally 24 hours in advance. So looking at the La Liga table right now, Barcelona sit second place. They are 8 points above Real Betis in fifth place. So, there's a world where Betis get within 5 points. That being said, it's obviously like Barcelona, like they're going to be betting favorites. It's not going to be huge. And I think the important thing is getting out of here with some points, obviously, like putting any sort of doubt that in the next, let's see, Barcelona have three more La Liga matches, including this weekend, or four, is it four more? Yeah, four more La Liga matches, including the last match of the week, or last match of the season against Villarreal. So, I mean, there's a world where like a complete collapse leads them to outside of the top four, but they can really kind of put it away this weekend with a win over Betis. I think the difficult thing to think about with the Xavi era so far, right, is like obviously he's navigated some pretty difficult waters thus far, right? Like when he took over, Barcelona had been just knocked out of the Champions League. They were falling continually further down the La Liga table. He took over, took the team on an absolute tear after some signings in January and brought them into the top four. And I think it's important to remember that the goal for this entire thing was Champions League. Trophies weren't really something in our minds. It was about rebuilding culture. And it wasn't about record necessarily this year because, I mean, like Ronald Koeman had an okay record his first year, right? Like that wasn't the problem. The Koeman era, and I think I'm just clicking into this now, but so Nick, our constant friend of the pod, wrote a piece this week talking about the showdown this weekend. And something that he said was the Koeman era will be remembered by many for its fatalism, not just for losing to the other European giants every time, but for shrugging it off as just how things are now. Xavi refused to accept that. He saw what was obvious to the rest of us. Barcelona are full of world-class talent. The challenge was not so much a footballing one, but overcoming the mental demons that were paralyzing his players. He goes on to say, and this is just so good, I'm just going to read it to everybody. Go check out the piece, barcelonagranas.com. Nick is a great writer, but he carries on, quote, but that's the thing about trauma. Just when you think it's gone, it can reappear with authority. And many players on this team still carry it. That's why defeating Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and Sevilla wasn't just a big deal. It was a confidence injection, a boost of adrenaline. But now it's back to reality. Getting a result against Mallorca was positive, but performances are what's needed with four games to go. This is obviously, this isn't like the match of the season, right? But it's still like, it's still pretty important to put this top four conversation away, to leave out the possibility of some sort of fatal collapse down the stretch that puts Barcelona outside of the top four. They got to get some points this weekend. And I think heading into the match, obviously, like, so we're going to be without Gerard Piqué. He is going, he has some, I think it's like tendonitis or tendinopathy. I'm not sure what the correct medical phrase is, but basically, he's just out. That's just how it's going to be. The other injury concern and watch is Marc-Andre ter Stegen. So he's a doubt for this weekend's match. He missed training on Friday or this morning because of that. So we're not really sure who's going to be in goal, whether it's going to be Neto or ter Stegen. The other bits of injury news is Ansu Fati. So he spoke out about some of the kind of the recovery from injury and basically like how he felt after making his return over this past weekend. He said, quote, "You gradually get better and stronger every day with total effort and hard work. You can fix everything in the end. I've learned so much about myself during the recovery process." He was then asked about whether he thought about leaving the club. He said, "No, honestly, Barca have given me everything. That is my club. My main ambition is to win titles with Barcelona. To achieve that for the club and the fans is my number one goal. If that means I also achieve personal records, then amazing. I'll work hard and stay dedicated. Hopefully trophies and records will come after that." So it's assuming we're going to see more of him this weekend. I think it's important to introduce those minutes slowly, as I'm sure Barcelona are obviously going to do. And yeah, like the hope is you show up next year with a healthy Pedri, a healthy Fati, hopefully a re-signed Ousmane Dembele, and you're ready to go. The transfer news, I mean, there's not like, you know, there's not a ton, right? It's basically Marcus Alonso and Dave Azpilicueta. Apparently we're lacking for older gentlemen to help us in the fullback position. So we want Dave to come help us out, which is a choice. But, you know, I mean, he's still good, you know. I think the other weird rumor I saw was that Frankie de Jong is apparently Manchester City's one of their goals for this year. I don't know. It seems a little strange. I think Barcelona's financial situation makes just about anything possible this summer, including maybe letting him go to Manchester City for some obscene amount of money. Obviously, City have other priorities like Erling Haaland, but if that's locked up and they want yet another world-class midfielder to rotate in and out, then, you know, Frankie would, of course, fit well with them, but that would be a devastating loss for Barcelona, one that they don't need. And, yeah, that would be bad. I know this is a Barcelona podcast, but honestly, there's a microphone in front of my mouth, and I have the desire to speak about the footballing that took place in the world this week. It involved some rivals of Barcelona, and some, you know, I don't think Villarreal are a rival, so I'm going to talk about them in a nice context. Let's just talk about the Villarreal-Liverpool match real quick. Of course, Villarreal come out and score two goals in the first half, punch Liverpool right in the mouth, like send them reeling. And then Liverpool do what Liverpool does best. They inject on the other team's tired legs. They inject a player like Luis Diaz, who comes in and throttles Villarreal with pace, with speed, with precision. And obviously there were some unforced errors on the part of Villarreal, but like they overachieved clearly. But what Unai Emery is building for Villarreal is incredible. I hope it transitions to or translates to league success next year. Like, it's all great that Villarreal can overachieve in the Europa League and in the Champions League, but like, it's important for the long-term success of the Liga to have a club, you know, another club. Like I don't see why Villarreal can't be another Sevilla, right? A team that challenges teams at the top, that's constantly in the top four battle, top three battle, and is also a threat in Europe. So I hope Villarreal and Unai Emery can continue to build on this success. A great season, but not all that surprising to see Liverpool go through. I think the aggregate score of 5-2 is a little bit deceiving. Well, I don't know if it's all that deceiving, because in the first leg, Liverpool, like, they were dominant, but they just didn't have that many goals in the first. Like, they didn't have any goals in the first half, but they were completely dominant. So maybe 5-2 isn't, like, maybe that's a true depiction of the talent and, like, the not the skill gap, but what am I trying to say? Like, the gap in form between those two teams. Maybe that is adequate. But either way, lovely, lovely success for Villarreal, Liverpool. One of the best teams in the world, probably the first or the second best team in the world, depending upon who you ask, headed to the Champions League final, and the quest for the quadruple is still on the table for them. This is going to hurt, and I don't really know how to talk about Real Madrid on a Barcelona podcast in a way that isn't going to hurt, especially because I've been quite flattering towards Real Madrid. I understand they're Barcelona's rival, but like what they, like the moxie they have, it was like, one of my best friends is a City fan. And I mean, we spent the entire week leading up to this match literally joking about how it was, I mean, everybody did, right? It was set up perfectly for Real Madrid to do their thing. Like, even when they were down 1-0, it was like, oh, they have them right where they want them. And my buddy literally said it felt like WWE, like it felt like staged wrestling. Like, how do you make up something where Real Madrid scored twice in the 90th minute to send it to extra time, and then Karim Benzema slots home a penalty? Like, and this is something that Nick actually chatted about on the podcast with us a few weeks ago. I think it was Nick. Apologies. I can't remember if it was Nick or Kevin, but basically like just the gusto that Real Madrid have, and like the talent is there just like it is with Barcelona, but like they have this, like they don't accept, and Xavi has that mindset, right? Like you don't accept that loss is inevitable at any point. And that's what Xavi is hopefully going to bring back to Barcelona. Like that's what Real Madrid have with Ancelotti. I mean, they had it with Zidane too, but like this run where they're not lucky, but they just like, they never accept defeat. And they're always like the same thing that Liverpool do with Luis Diaz, Real Madrid have been doing with Camavinga, or I think that's how you say his name, Camavinga. But they bring him on in the second half for Granddaddy Kroos, and it just injects this like this pace, this control, and they know how to change games on their head, and it's impressive. It's infuriating as a Barcelona supporter, but it's something where you just like Dani Alves said this week, like you have to respect it. It's not luck, and it's just incredible. And so now we get to see Liverpool Real Madrid round two in the Champions League final, which is going to be fantastic to watch. Hopefully Real Madrid don't win that too, but yeah, that's all I got. Everyone enjoy the match this weekend. It is a vital match. You know, Xavi's going to have the boys fired up and ready to go. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they come out with and how they perform. So enjoy the match, and I will chat with you next week.